Is Christ calling us to some hidden backroom job, serving tables, washing feet, when we'd much rather be in the limelight of publicity?
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Is he calling us to spend our time with somebody who's lonely, or emotionally unstable, or mentally sick, when we'd much rather relax with our friends?
You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Is he calling us to work in a run-down inner city area or a ghetto?
Go to meet the needs of the least among us, suffering in our cities.
Is he calling us to offer our lives in his service in a developing country overseas?
You might be called to be a missionary.
As a Christian doctor or pastor or
disciplers,
nurse,
church planters, Christian education
or
leaders,
teacher or agriculturalist or social
always
worker.
Always give yourselves fully to the work of the
you
Lord.
You have certain gifts.
Be elected to public office.
Serve one another.
You have to move.
Become a leader.
Stand firm.
Now which one do you want?
Suppose you knew the Lord Jesus Christ was here in person and that you could ask him one question. What would that question be? The vast majority of you would ask a question related to how you could know some aspect of God's will for your life. What is the will of God? First are those aspects of his will and his plan which have already been revealed in his word and which apply to every Christian. Has it ever struck you that the vast majority of the will of God has already been revealed in this book?
Daily we need to go to the word of God because our knowledge of him is only by revelation.
If you're going to meet with God every day, it means you decide when you're going to go to bed and when you get up and what you're going to study in the morning.
We need to study deeply and probe scripture, and under the touch of the Holy Spirit, extract from this word the doctrines upon which we build our life.
As you read the scripture, crystallize the principles as well as the specific commands of what you're to do and what you're not to do, and you'll get a tremendous amount of guidance. But there is a second dimension of the will of God, and that has to do with those areas of life that are not specifically referred to in scripture and which vary for each one of us.
Let's see. Green shirt or blue shirt? Green shirt or blue shirt? Green shirt or blue shirt?
In many areas of life, he invites us to consult our own sanctified preferences. He's not desperately concerned about whether you wear a green shirt or a blue shirt.
Well, let's see here. Steak or chicken? Steak or chicken? Steak or chicken?
You can choose your menu. He really doesn't have a great deal of preference whether you have steak or chicken. Are any of you praying for guidance about whether you should marry a non-Christian?
Well, yes, I'm...
Save your breath.
But don't you think...
God tells us in unmistakable terms in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, which means, among other things, that a Christian is never to marry an unbeliever. How many of you are spending 5 minutes a day in prayer asking God to show you what his will is in a particular area in which the Bible is not specific? The question of what you're to do, where you're to do it, and with whom are dimensions of the will of God that he mediates to us in different ways. We need to understand something of the prerequisites for knowing the will of God in these unspecified areas of our lives. One of them is to be a child of God in the first place. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in a commitment of faith to him as Savior and Lord.
I dare say there isn't one of us here who does not sometimes refer to Jesus as our Lord.
The word Lord is no pious platitude. It implies unbending allegiance to an absolute monarch.
There is only one who has to be the Lord, to whom men can give unconditional surrender.
This is the God who dreamed you up, created you, formed you, and now calls you by name.
He lived our life. He tasted our sorrows. He felt our pain. He experienced our temptations. He bore our sins. He died our death.
There is only one who has to be worshipped and praised as the Lord of men, because he is the Lord of the universe and he is the Lord of history.
If you're going to respond to Jesus Christ, you must respond to him as Lord.
Be personally, vitally, organically related to Jesus Christ himself.
Don't take his name upon us if we really deep down beneath are not committed to him.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord?
Why do you
not
call me Lord, Lord?
And do not the things that I say.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord?
Why do you not call me Lord, Lord?
And do not. You call me Lord, Lord, and then you go your way. You call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't obey. You call me Lord, Lord, and then do things your way. How can I be Lord if I'm never Lord of your today?
Secondly, as a prerequisite, we need to be obeying God in those areas where we know what his will is.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
If you want to convince Jesus Christ that you love him, the great way to prove your love is by your obedience.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
When the love of God is in our hearts, we love people who are unlovely and unlovable. We need to learn to set our love upon people. Love is not sentiment so much as service.
Our position is to feed hungry people, feed empty bellies, put clothes on people's
no,
backs.
No, we are not called to be involved in social issues. We are called to preach the gospel.
Our position is to feed hungry people.
We are called to preach the gospel.
Feed people.
Preach the gospel.
Both were included in the mission of Jesus. Both must be included in ours.
We need to incarnate our words, clothing them with our own flesh and blood, in deep identification with people in their need.
Suffer for Christ by living in the world of politics and civic affairs.
Any gospel that does not speak to the issue of injustice, does not speak to the issue of inequality, any gospel that doesn't want to go where people are hungry and people are poverty-stricken and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ is not the gospel.
The world will believe what we say about Jesus Christ when it learns and believes that in some sense you and I are willing to die for him and for them.
You call me Lord, Lord, and then you go your way. You call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't obey.
No truly converted Christian is at liberty to disagree with what Jesus taught, nor is he at liberty to disobey what Jesus commanded. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right.
You call me Lord, Lord, and then do things your way. How can I be Lord if I'm never Lord of your today?
The third prerequisite, and I think this is in fact the most crucial one of all, is that we must be willing to accept the will of God in these unspecified areas for our lives without knowing what it is, accepting it in advance, in other words. Lord, show me what your will is so I can decide whether it fits in with what I have in mind. You know, Lord, I'd love to do your will, but would you mind sort of just letting me know, you know, what it is? Like, if I can see whether it's to be Honolulu, you know, or Nome, Alaska, that would be helpful. Lord, I'm going to be a businessman for you. Man, think of all the money I can kick into that offering 3 years from now. Lord, I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere in the world as long as it's merit. Without meaning to, we're insulting God because we're saying, God, I don't trust you. I think I know better what would make me happy than you do. know a girl who determines whether the thing is God's will by how much she loathes it. Ugh, if she can't stand it, she thinks, well, man, that's proof positive.
Somehow we've gotten the idea that God is a kind of celestial Scrooge who leans down over the balcony of heaven trying to find anybody who's enjoying life, and he leans over and yells, cut it out. The choice is between doing what we want to do and being happy and doing what God wants us to do and being miserable. If he ever gets his hands on us, all enjoyment and happiness is down the tube. God is not going to make us miserable, but rather he fits our lives into his pattern for us, that place where he in his omniscience and love knows we will fit hand in glove. The greatest joy in all of our lives is to do what the Lord wants us to do and to know we're doing it. The sheer joy of doing the will of God. Affirm his will with confidence and with joy and with deep satisfaction.
There is a holy, just, loving, powerful, personal God who made this world, who keeps it by his power, and who loves the human race and wants the best for every man.
God will show you where in the world he wants you to serve him.
We have the potential in our lives to show the world what the gospel can do.
Get involved in the work of evangelism where you are.
Try to relate the gospel to what is happening inside the university world.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Communicate Jesus Christ, that he is around, that he's alive, that he's real, that he's here, that I know him.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
What you really want is to be left alone, wandering aimlessly, no purpose and no home. What you don't know is that you have a name, but I can't tell you that as long as you play games. You call me Lord, Lord, and then you go your way. You call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't obey. You call me Lord, Lord, and then do things your way. How can I be Lord if I'm never Lord of yours today? What you really want is something you don't know. Your search is endless, no matter where you go. Until you're still and I can have my way, you'll be empty, for love is to obey.
Therefore, my brothers, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to him a living sacrifice. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect.